Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm Drew Gretsch.
And I'm Ivan Cena.
We're here to talk about a movie that we all know. This movie's been in development for like 46 years. It's going to be, you guys can look back on this. You're going to be able to look back at this this time next year and think about how a Marvel movie, a Sony Marvel movie, a Spider-Man spinoff, one best picture at the Academy Awards. So, we're talking about Morbius. This is going to win best picture, right? It has to. Right, Ivan? Oh. Best picture winner. Oh. No, I'm kidding. Not whatsoever. So, yeah, let's talk about Morbius, Ivan. So, spoiler-free thoughts on Morbius. We saw the movie about 2 days ago. You've gotten to see one of the film twice. What did you think of Morbius? We're not gonna talk about the post-credits scenes right now.
Okay, great. I think the first half of the movie is pretty good. I enjoyed it. Set up a lot of good stuff. Unfortunately, the movie did not follow through.
Yeah.
There is one particular scene that me and Drew both very much enjoyed.
Great. This movie is the greatest scene in cinematic history.
The camera work is a little like it follows
cinematography is bad.
Characters. Yeah, it follows the characters and it's too quick. I have to close my eyes just to process.
Oh my god.
What I saw.
Yeah.
And then overall, fight scenes, I mean, they're okay.
Yeah, nothing really special. Nothing special about this movie. Like, this is a movie, and I hate this because this movie's awful. This is an awful movie. But I had a damn good time with it. I had a damn good time with Morbius.
We had all to ourselves.
Monday night screen, like 7:30 p.m. We were the only ones in the theater. It was Fantastic Four. Did you understand the reference, Ivan?
Fantastic. Oh.
Yeah,
give me a second, but I get it.
I thought this was a fun movie. Here's what I'm gonna say, and we're still spoiler free. Do not go see this in a theater.
Yeah.
Do not see this movie in the theater. It is not worth it. What I will say, wait for Netflix. This is going to be on Netflix in a couple of months. Watch it then.
And this then you can pause after the 45-minute mark.
Oh my god. You can just skip. Okay, here's what I will say. Here's the one thing about this movie that I think is actually really, really good. Matt Smith is wonderful in this movie. Mm-hmm. Matt Smith is fantastic. He is having the time of his life with Morbius. He's having the time of his life with this movie. With two scenes in particular. Inner Tobey Maguire coming out. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you don't care. I'll talk about it in a bit. But yeah, I mean, I actually did like the first 45 minutes. Now we're going to get in spoiler section here. So if you've not seen Morbius yet, I have to talk about like the point of the movie in which I stopped finding enjoyment in the film. So we're in spoilers now. So spoilers in 3, 2, 1. Matt Smith is a variant of Tobey Maguire. Oh my god. The point in which I lost interest in this movie was when Dr. Morbius was arrested. Was when Michael was arrested. That's when I lost interest in the movie. That's when it went from an okay movie to a bad movie, was in that scene. Just because, like, I lost interest. This is a movie that has a lot of really strong ethical questions. But it doesn't explore any of them in an interesting way.
True.
Particularly, like, can he kill people to sustain his life? And what I'm thinking is, like, you know, what's interesting, like, what I hope that we see the dynamic here between Morbius and Venom moving forward is the first thing right here is Michael is on a split person, you know? Like, he doesn't have a parasite. Hey, I'm not a parasite. I'm gonna eat your brain. I'm no parasite. That really hurts your voice. He has no parasite.
Shut up.
So, that's the one thing that's interesting. So, everything that happens is, like, Michael's choice. Sophie's choice, but it's Michael's choice. Anyway, you know, the deal, not really deal, I guess, because I don't really know how their relationship stands after Spider-Man No Way Home, but Eddie and Venom, you know, it's like, you can only, like, I have the absolute negative here. If my AP Gov teacher, Ms. Newcomb, was listening to any chance, there, I use some CST. He has, you know, Eddie has an absolute negative there. So, like, over who, like, Venom can eat and things. And he's like, you can only eat bad people. Yvonne, have you seen the Venom movies?
I haven't, but I do know that
we're, have seen clips of, like, we are going to fix it this weekend. You need to watch the Venom movies. I don't think that Alex has seen the first one either. Like, he saw the second one with me on opening night, but we didn't watch the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the first one a couple times. Okay. I quite enjoy the first movie. But anyway, I'm really excited to see, like, how that thing, the whole thing works out. Now, let's talk about what the future of this universe is right now. And then we'll talk about that wonderful scene with Matt Smith. How are they going to do Sinister Six? Because this movie has references to Black Cat, to Rhino, to Chameleon, are the ones that I saw in the Daily Bugle. That, though, like, Venom is not a villain. Venom is an antihero. Morbius is an antihero. If Sony wants to do a Sinister Six, you need to have them be sinister.
Yeah, you can't have Venom, which is a huge amount of muscle, be like, no, he good.
Like,
I can't do the voice. My throat is sore right now. I can't do that.
And Venom, you know, through the years in the comics, has become an antihero. Like, he joined up with the Guardians of the Galaxy at one point, which is awesome. But Venom has become an antihero. I don't know anything about Morbius, guys. I don't know nothing about this character. All I know about this character, I learned from the movie. So, with that, like, they have to be sinister. They have to be evil. And it's hard when you're doing a Spider-Man cinematic universe with no Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, clearly Spider-Man exists. But, like, this is that post-credit scene. Like, here, let's talk about the credit scenes for a second. When, I'm not sure if you're the one who said this, but when Vulture mentioned, I think this is something to do with Spider-Man, when they cut back to Michael after Vulture says Spider-Man, he has the most blank stare on his face ever. As it's like, I don't know who you're talking about. And sure thing is, the director of the movie, Daniel Espinosa, said Spider-Man exists in this universe. He wouldn't say who. He would not tell us if it was Toby or if it was Andrew. I personally think that they'll bring in a new one, honestly, is what I think they'll do. But Spider-Man exists. This movie's set in New York City.
Yeah.
You have a group. You have, like, a couple of, you know, vampirical murders. You'd think that the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man would investigate a little bit. But he doesn't. He doesn't. Now, that's not the movie's fault. This is not a Spider-Man movie. It's not a Spider-Man movie. But what my theory was, maybe he couldn't do this because maybe this movie set during Spider-Man No Way Home. And Spider-Man just was literally in a, like, Peter 3 was off in a different universe. Because my personal theory, like, Sony has no idea what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
They rushed the Sinister Six again. They did it 8 years ago and it failed completely. They did it just now and I hope it doesn't fail because I think they've built a strong foundation for this universe. That's what I said. Like, when I first saw Venom, I said, you know, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek, they're rushing into a cinematic universe and it's not working. Sony tried this and it didn't work. So they rebooted with Venom. And they're taking their time, they're building it. And then now here, I think a couple of guys like us should team up. I think we should team up. Which I said as we left the theater. That line sounds like you're in second grade and your best friend comes over. It's a rainy Tuesday afternoon. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You bring down your box of action figures. You're like, let's play. And you grab your Vulture action figure. And you're like, I think a couple of guys like us should team up to take down Spider-Man. And then the guy goes, okay, bet. That was horrible.
Yeah.
That was horrible. I don't have any words after that. Oh, you know what? Whew. There's that. We've talked about that scene extensively on the podcast before. We have talked about the scene a whole lot. If I have time to talk about that scene. Oh, that wonderful scene with Matt Smith.
That incredibly groovy scene.
To wrap up what I was just saying. I think there was a lot, like, in this movie that, with, like, setting up, like, because they had Michael Keaton in that first show, like, over 2 years ago. Right? And this movie kept being delayed and delayed and delayed because of COVID, which is fair. And it got to the point where Spider-Man No Way Home was coming out before Morbius. And therefore, those Michael Keaton Vulture scenes did not make sense in the context of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
So they decided to have it make less sense. Or at least, like, they did what they could because you, like, after that trailer, you couldn't have Vulture not be in the movie. Right?
Yeah. You can't back out of that once you have him in a trailer.
And no, because I remember like 2 years ago, I saw the headlines like, Morbius trailer confirms that the Venom universe is part of the MCU. No, and I'll say this, if you're someone who hasn't seen this movie and you're listening to this podcast, you're an MCU fan, maybe don't, like, still don't see it in theaters, I don't think. But I think this movie is worth a watch on Netflix.
Yeah, like when
this is not worth the money to go sit in a theater. Man, dude, we had 25 minutes of trailers.
Yeah.
Just insane. It's insane. And then we had Nicole Kidman come out.
That's strange and
Wait, that's a great ad. Don't put it in an AMC theater. Put it anywhere else. Put it at a Cinemark. That'd be hysterical if AMC started to run ads at Cinemark.
Run that like, stuff on YouTube.
As part of the pre-show. Well, they put that commercial in the Super Bowl. Anyway. Alright. I just hope that they go back to basics now. And they keep building up this team the right way. Because they're going to pivot into Sinister Six. Kind of sad about... I kind of want to just like more standalone movies. I don't necessarily need all these characters to team up and do some good. Yeah. Team up and do some good. If I like, whenever like, I'm like, hey, do you want to hang out? I'm just going to, like, now I'm just going to ask you, Yvonne, do you want to team up and do some good? It's time to team up and do some good.
That line was just
it's so bad. And you can tell, like, it was so horrible. It was so horrible. Like, Michael Keaton just getting pulled out of his universe ever. Like, starting off in the MCU this year, and then The Flash next year. He's getting pulled out of all his comic book universes.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Let's talk about that wonderful scene with Bully Smith. Instead of Bully McGuire, we now have Bully Smith. You know the whole thing, right, Yvonne? Like, people call him Bully McGuire. Yeah. But you weren't responding.
I dressed up for Halloween. I'm sorry, my mind was blanking.
Okay.
But I dressed up as Halloween in a black suit.
That's funny. I loved this scene so much. I could talk about this scene and break it down for hours. No issue. When the movie's out on Netflix, we'll do like an anatomy of a scene. Which I'd love to do for like the leap of faith in Spider-Verse and Logan and Charles' like final conversation in the movie Logan. I'd love to do stuff like that. On the list, we have to have this scene from Morbius.
Yes, we absolutely have to cover this scene.
It started out in the subway after he does, like, the first, like, after he kills the first victim. And he literally does the Tobey Maguire drive your funky soul dance. He starts rolling his arms. And you and I, in the theater, we lost our minds. We lost our minds. Now, yes, I've actually not seen anyone on Twitter really talk about the scene all that much. So, I think we love this scene more than a lot of people do.
Because it came so out of the blue.
It was so random. It was so incredibly random. He did that. And he just freaking, like, disapparated like in Harry Potter. Get some more boring things in this movie. And then cut to his bathroom. He's dancing out of the mirror. And then like he makes a pose and does the vampire face. It's so funny.
Oh, and that pose reminded me of something. This will be a deep cut, but
who's
played the Ultra Sun and just Sun games for Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon.
Badger's on here, Vaughn.
Does that same pose every time he initiates a battle.
Yeah. So the movie's
just
so
like the arms on the side. It's so strange.
So the song is called Exa. 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 And I don't know the rest of it, but like that a couple years ago there was this whole trend on YouTube to, like, make video essays about the MCU called One Marvelous Scene in the Run to Endgame. Multiverse now, and there is an MCU character in this movie. Yeah. Oh, and also, when I get transported to another universe, the first thing I think of is, hope the food's better here. But, like, I would do a One Marvelous Scene essay for that scene. It's so hysterical. It is so funny. It's so out of the blue. We saw it. It goes on for a full minute.
It's just him. It's just sitting him around in this closet. And
I don't know if that music exists in the universe. The thing with Toby in Spider-Man 3 is that music's not there when he's dancing down the street. He's dancing to no music. It is hysterical. I think the movie was hilarious for all the wrong reasons. And I'm not talking about anything else, like any other redeeming parts of the movie, because I just really don't want to. I don't want to be negative, guys. I don't like being negative.
Yeah, let's focus on the fun parts. Which was that scene. To anybody listening, the reason we're talking about it is because it's just so random. It's so random.
It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. You know what? I was watching the scene because I recorded it on my phone. Because I find great joy in that. In rewatching the scene when I'm having a hard time. Rewatch that scene. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, this is probably the first time he's ever danced.
Oh my god.
The first time he's ever danced.
He's newly able.
I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. So it's easy to pretend. I know you're not a fool. Feet
have got no.
Should've known better than to cheat a friend. Waste a chance that I've been given. So I'm never gonna dance again. The way I dance with you. Da 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 da. It was horrible. I'm leaving it in there. I'm not gonna cut that out. It was horrible. That was just as out of left field as that scene was in Morbius.
The review needs to have something that's just as random.
I know. It does. It does. Oh my god. That scene was so good.
It breaks so much. It's just like this pausing point.
Wait, what scene are you talking about? I'm talking about how a couple of guys like us should team up and do some good. I think a couple of guys like us should team up. Do some good. And he goes, he literally goes, okay.
Like this flying man with robotic wings.
Like, how do you mess up a post-credit scene?
They're 2 minutes.
The answer is by being Sony. No, because the post-credit scene in Spider-Verse is awesome. Mm-hmm. Scene's awesome. Got Oscar Isaac in there as Spider-Man 2099. I don't know. How do you mess it up like that?
For real. The first half of the second end credit scene could have just been a car commercial.
Oh my god, it could have been. Alright. Well, we already said that we were going to go for like a half hour. We're like at 25 minute mark. So, if we want to just like roast Morbius for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'm fine with that. This movie...
very fun, but as of right now, no. It is very late.
No. I've won. This movie is the most planned out April Fool's prank ever. This movie came out on April 1st. Remember how, like, January 2020 we got that first trailer? And it had Michael Keaton in it?
Mm-hmm.
And we kept seeing Michael Keaton in the trailers. The final trailer came out, like, in February. That trailer was narrated by Michael Keaton. He narrated that trailer. Like, oh, what was he gonna, like, he's going to be a big part of this movie. He went in to record lines for a trailer. That's what he did. And you know what? He's not even in the movie. You know what's also not in the movie? The Oscorp building. The Spider-Man murderer poster. None of it's in the movie. It's just the biggest April Fool's prank ever. And honestly, I wonder if that's what Sony was going for.
I mean, they want to make a profitable movie. But this is just not good.
This movie will make a profit. This movie had a really strong opening weekend for its budget. This movie had a budget of like $85 million. No. Oh. It was low budget. I think it was $75 million. Or, Yvonne, can you just like check on...
All right, yeah, thanks.
$75 million. You add on... like $25 million for the marketing, because you know you had to market this movie like three times because of COVID,
mm-hmm.
And then you have like the theater cut. This movie's already made $85 million worldwide. This is going to make money. It's not going to be a lot of money.
Unfortunately,
huh?
Unfortunately,
no, because this movie should make its money back.
Well, yeah, it should at least make its money.
I don't think this movie deserves to be a runaway hit, but it deserves to make its money back. I thought it was okay. Like, I'm not upset that I saw it. I don't feel as though my time was wasted by this movie.
It was a shorter movie.
It was a short movie. It was an hour 45. Huh?
If it was like 2 hours and 30 minutes, like the standard MCU movie.
Well, Doctor
Words.
Wait, but you've heard about this Doctor Strange 2 runtime, right?
I do know it's
like 2 hours and 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
It's like tied with something for like the sixth. It's like 11th shortest MCU movie. I'm like, does that matter? Because this movie has had two seasons of shows. So two seasons of TV, and an entire other movie to set it up. We had WandaVision, we had Loki, we had No Way Home. Like,
yeah,
this can just get right on into the action.
Runtime. Okay, a movie is good. If it's good, the runtime, of course it can affect it, but...
Venom...
The story's cohesive, and it knows what it is.
Venom is perfect at 90 minutes. Avengers Endgame is perfect at 2 hours. There is no proper runtime for a movie. I remember when, like, Venom 2, like, the runtime count was, like, an hour. It was literally 90 minutes, including credits. People were like, what? What? Anyway. Do you have anything else to say about Morbius?
I don't really have anything else to say for it. Other than... Look, it's one of some of the greatest trilogy, I think, is the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Morbius can beat it.
And the first one is an hour and 38 minutes.
That's funny, because that's how long movies need to be. Runtimes are specified for a movie. Any given film. So, it is getting late. Like, runtime does not tell you if a movie's good or bad. Like, when you just hear the runtime. Like, look, we come out of this movie on May 6th saying this needed another half hour. Or this movie was 20 minutes too long. Then I'll change what I'm saying right now. But as of right now, it's being someone who's not seen the movie for another month, Yeah, Yvonne, in 1 month we'll be like getting near the end of our screening.
Wow.
Yeah. I know we'll be done with the screening because it's 2 hours and 6 minutes. It's not 2.5 hours, 2 hours. 2 hour long movie. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh yeah, the last thing right here. They are the many and we are the few. When they first said that, I'm like, that's actually really profound. I like that a lot. But then they kept repeating it. Didn't like that. Anyway.
The scene loses its power.
It does. Every time they said it, I was just laughing. Other thing. When the hot doctor died, you know, the, what was her name? I don't remember her name.
I don't know, but she had two kids.
No, the other one.
Which other one?
The one who was hot.
Like, the love interest?
Yeah, the hot one.
Okay.
No. What they did with her is the same thing that happens with that like detective at the end of Venom 2. Where like you think that they're dead. Close up shot of the eyes opening, the pupils are a different color. They did the same thing. This is the first thing I thought of was the end of Venom 2. Same universe. Alright. I have nothing else to say for Morbius, guys. Yvonne, do you?
Yeah, I'm done.
Alright. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys can find us on Twitter at AnotherMarvelP1. Send in your feedback. What do you think of Morbius? I'd love to hear it. We'll be back on Wednesday with Moon Knight Episode 3. Can't wait to talk about it. I'm Drew Gretsch.
And everyone, see you then.
Laters, gators.